Welcome to Untamed Blossoms, the podcast where we celebrate the untamed journey of womanhood. Here, we tell the stories of incredible women who have embraced their authenticity, inspiring others to do the same.
From entrepreneurs to artists, activists to adventurers, we share triumphs, challenges, and the beauty of self-discovery. These are the stories of women blazing their own trails, breaking free, and blooming unapologetically.
Join us to connect, be inspired, and celebrate the power of women's stories. Together, let's rewrite the rules and embrace our wildness.
Welcome to Untamed Blossoms. I'm your host, Amanda Riley.
And I'm Christy Riley. Welcome to the show.
The sun is beaming through. I feel like an angel.
You look like an angel. Always. A little pixie.
You look a little like you're about to gym tan laundry.
I got a little Jersey Shore vibe happening today.
I love it.
I was like, I've got a little wing makeup happening. I put on our new Untamed Blossoms, our other outfit today.
I love it.
And I was just laughing at myself like I'm a little. And then the way I did my hair, because it probably needs to wash tomorrow. And, you know, it's not a hair wash day. So I'm like, I'm just going to pull it up. It's looking a little flat. So when I checked out my vibe on the way out the door, I was like, oh, look at you.
Oh.
Little Jersey Shore action. Hey.
I feel like we've switched a little. I feel like I went very. Here's the thing. I tried on that thing last week. This
yes.
Last week.
You loved it originally.
I did. And I didn't. It wasn't like I hated it last week. I just didn't.
Yeah.
I just like. And so I thought I put it back in my closet.
Right.
I clearly put it in with my like dress up clothes to be washed.
Yes.
And those are all in the washer right now.
Yeah.
So I panicked and wore my pink sweater.
That's okay.
Sorry.
That is also Untamed Blossoms merch you have wearing.
It is.
On. Yeah.
It
yeah.
is.
So you grow girl.
Still went with the theme, but.
It's on our website if anybody wants any merch.
Yeah.
We have local artists that made those for us and yeah. came up with the designs and really proud of them.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Love it. Well, I was supposed to go to yoga this weekend, but I did not go to yoga this weekend.
You did not?
No. But I love yoga. And we have a guest today. Her name is Amy Hamilton. And she has a company called the Balanced Child Method.
Correct.
And teaches yoga to youngins.
Yes. So. I'm excited to talk to her.
Yeah.
Because I think this is a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
Teaching kids breath work and regulation, you know, slowing their bodies down. This morning, I was just watching scrolling. I was doom scrolling, waiting for you to arrive. And it was a guy that had the dots of your lifetime up on a board. And like, this is how every dot is a month. These are how many months based on your 90-year lifespan. If you live 90 years, this is how many months you have. And he's like, this is blocked off for sleep. This is how much is blocked off for sleep. This is how much is blocked off for eating and sleeping, toileting, you know, all of these things, right? Which left you with about 30% of your months left, which is not that many, yeah. right? To do the things that, because they put work and stuff in there and your schooling was a big block. And then these are the months left for you to achieve in life, whatever you want, for you to live your life
yeah.
where you're not mandated for something that you have to do. Right.
Right.
And it just, that was startling.
Yeah.
But then he said 18 years and the average 18 year old today will spend 93% of that on a screen.
Wow.
And so he filled in all those blocks and left just these little few months left at the end. Where they're actually out experiencing life. And I thought, that is so
sad.
Sad.
Yeah.
And also, me too, yeah. right? Like currently.
Yeah.
Like we spend so much time on our devices and on our screens that I don't think we realize. And when you put it in such a graphic representation.
Yeah.
It was really impactful to me. And so. Yeah. Teaching kids how to be in their bodies and how to break some of these cycles of being on screens, because now schools are being taught mostly with iPads and they don't have actual books. So they literally are looking at a screen in school all day and then sometimes screen time at home all night. And, you know, whether that's younger kids or older kids depends on the family. But they're getting a ton of screen time. So I think figuring out regulation for them is going to be huge. So I'm real impressed with what she's doing. I can't wait to talk to her.
Totally. I know before she, well, I don't know if before, but when I met her, she was doing skincare and some other things as well. Yeah. So I was excited to hear her journey and how she pivoted and where and why she landed where she is today.
Yeah, so. I agree.
Hi, Amy. Welcome to the pod.
Hi.
Thanks for having me.
We're so excited to meet you and talk about all the things, Amy.
That's so exciting.
And I know when I first met you, you were really into skincare and working with a skincare brand. And now you have a wonderful yoga practice that you do, the Balanced Child Method, if I am saying that correctly. So before we get started about, you know, the past and how you got here today, just tell us a little bit about where you are right now.
Yeah. So I reside in Columbus, Ohio with my husband that I met at Ohio State. We both went there many years ago. And I have three children. Henry is 8. I have two girls, twin girls, Rose and Violet, that are 6. And I now own the Balanced Child Method. So I started that business just over 5 years ago. We just celebrated our 5-year anniversary in February.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, with the pandemic thrown in there, it, you know, was quite fun.
Sure.
And so we actually don't have a physical location. So we travel around and we are currently in over 50 daycare and child care centers in Central Ohio doing classes weekly. We do over about 100 classes a week. We're also in public schools and private schools. So we're in all of Upper Arlington's after school programs. We're in Wellington's after school and summer programs and Columbus Academy after school and summer programs. And that's a big focus of growth for us as well this year. And then we also are in the Parks and Rec around town. So you can find us at like Westerville Parks and Rec and Bexley Parks and Rec and Worthington. We go to the libraries. We're in all of the libraries doing programming. We do special events. We just launched our Yoga for Athletes program. Mm-hmm. And then we also just launched our Yoga for Businesses and Corporations. So we can kind of, I always say we're flexible. So if you didn't hear something that interests you, we can probably do it. We are in a lot of country clubs for the summer. We do a ton of summer camps. So we're really, summer is our busiest time of year. Even though, you know, like our daycare is run year round, but we should really like sit and figure out how many classes we do a week in the summer, but it's quite impressive. Well, they're all independent contractors, but I have about 25 independent contractors that teach for me. And I said about half of those are like full time for our business, you know, cause that's kind of hard to do right in daycare and child care hours. I have a nice little admin staff of 6. And then I currently am an independent contractor for Arbonne. So I was with Beauty Counter for 10 years and they just closed their doors back in May. So I had to pivot there, but very happy with Arbonne. Love to travel. We are getting ready to do a huge renovation in our home, our kitchen and entire first floor. And we bought this house a year or two before we got married. And we thought, oh, we'll just be here for 5 years. And we're going on, oh, geez, like 17 years, maybe 15 years. Yeah. I know that won't show my age. So just let's say when we first moved in, our neighbors, they're, you know, well, one is now deceased, but they were like in their 80s. And they became like, you know, second grandparents. And I got a new car. And they thought that my now husband like replaced me and got a new girlfriend.
Oh,
and I'm
no.
Like, no, he's got a new car.
Yeah. Hey, there's this other car coming and going. We're not sure what's happening.
In the neighborhood, you cannot get away with anything, which is great. You know, I love that.
But,
We live in an amazing gem of a neighborhood. It's a hidden gem here in Columbus. You don't feel like you're in the city. You can get anywhere. We're like going the opposite way of traffic. And we have a pool. It was built in the 1960s. So we have like a pool and tennis courts. And it's just a very cool vibe. And all the houses were, you know, built to look different. And, you know, we have big trees and lots of history here. So it's a really cool neighborhood. And It's a good.
You got a pretty big lot, which is pretty unknown in certain parts of Columbus. So,
and I would love if you could take us back a little bit and talk about maybe, you know, just like growing up. Did you grow up in Ohio, and was something like breath work and mindfulness, was that something that you were brought up with, or did anyone kind of demonstrate that for you?
Yes, I was born and raised in Ohio, Northwest Ohio. I grew up on a farm up. I went to Evergreen, if anyone knows that area. It's up near Delta Watteon area. No, I knew nothing about yoga growing up. I mean, we're kind of, you know, like I always laugh, like we didn't have the internet until I think like right before I went to college, and it was like dial up. you know, we had like four channels on our TV, so we didn't even have cable. Like, you know, I was the 4-H queen. I showed animals. I mean, like, I was the picture farm, small town girl. I showed up at Ohio State. I always laugh in like two French braids, some bib overalls that were very cute bib overalls.
Right, right.
And a
box. Don't make fun of our overalls, damn it.
Pictures of my family and like 4-H ribbons and trophies. And, you know, I walked in and my roommates were not from small towns and farms. One was from LA, one was from DC, and one was from Cincinnati. And it was just a big culture shock for me. I had, you know, been to Florida and different places, but you know, when you grow up in a small town, you're kind of sheltered. So, I really didn't start practicing yoga until college, and very little at that point. I did a lot of group fitness though at Ohio State. I taught Buckeye aerobics. And I've always like, I was a cheerleader and baton twirler and dancer and like, you know, always being active and, being, you know, loving physical education and doing group classes and those kind of things, you know, have always interested me. And I taught post-college at the YMCA and, you know, taught spinning classes and step classes when that was cool. And, you know, when it was like kickboxing with Bobby Blanks or whoever.
Yes.
Tybo.
Tybo, baby. We did all those things. Yes.
Yeah. So yeah. And then I worked in retail for 15 years. I was a buyer my first chapter of my life. So I didn't have time for a lot of stuff. I mean, I'd get up and go to the gym and, you know, whatnot.
What was your degree in at Ohio State? What'd you?
It's actually in political science and business. I had started off Ohio State thinking I wanted to be in medicine. So I wanted to be an emergency room physician, specializing in pediatrics, which now I'm like, what was I thinking? Like, you know, you come like from this small town and you're like, I'm going to save the world and I'm going to, you know, do all these things. But I actually got through OCHEM and passed it. And then I was like, I'm out.
And that's a wrap.
I was studying one day when all my friends were at the Ohio State game and I was like, nope, not going to work. So, so I went to my advisor and I was like, what can I do? And they're like, what do you want to do? And I'm like, well, maybe I can be a lawyer. And they're like, don't just like pick the, like, you know, the most common, you know, occupations at the time, or, you know, like higher end occupations. And at the time, it's so crazy to even think about, but like, they're like, okay, you can be a nurse. And I was like, so you can be a doctor or you can be a nurse. And now, you know what I mean? There's endless opportunities in medicine. It's just that, I mean, even 20 years ago, that wasn't the case. Like there wasn't physician assistants and, or they were just coming on to the scene. You know what I mean? Like there wasn't those programs. And even at Ohio State, it wasn't like there was a lot of options. So I was like, well, I want to graduate on time because I'm putting some of this bill. And, I was very into political science at the time. Now I wouldn't touch it with a 10-foot pole. of doing that. We need a lot of breath work if, you know, and, you know, I was like, I'll get some business just so, you know, what I kind of decide to do. And honestly, they just really advised to get an internship. So I got an internship, at Limited 2 actually. And I thought I was doing marketing and they're like, well, we need, someone to help out with the buyers. And I was like, okay. And literally, like when I went in to interview, I knew nothing about, I mean, I knew what Limited 2 was, but I didn't know, you know, about buying. I didn't know much about how the retail process worked. So she was like, do some research, write me up like a you know, what you've learned about retail and see if you can get like an elective class and, you know, come back. And I did that. And her name was also Amy Jo. So I think that helped my case. And so, yeah, I got into retail and I loved it. And I moved up very quickly and was very passionate about retail. And it was the perfect thing for me in that phase of life. But as we were getting ready to have kids, we kind of went through a long fertility journey with some miscarriages and things. And it just came very apparent that the hours and the stress and the travel and all of that stuff just was not conducive to having and starting a family. So I always say I must have prayed hard enough because I got laid off from DSW. They laid off about 150 people in 2016, and I was 27 weeks pregnant with my son. And so it was a blessing in disguise. And that's when I really dove into Beauty Counter. And it was kind of when Beauty Counter was picking up steam early on. And there was still like a huge opportunity to, you know, you like, I wasn't in right at the beginning, but like still kind of on that wave of going up. And I built that business pretty quickly. And then was looking for something to get out of the house, you know, like, yeah, I had events and different, you know, things like that with that, but was looking kind of, you know, for something else. And I actually at the time was doing a bunch of Pure Barre classes and had thought about franchising that. And then that fell through, long story, but I was on a work trip then kind of after that had fallen through and with my husband, and we went to the Ritz in Florida, and it was like, I forget what, I think it's in Naples. There's two, there's like one on the ocean and one at the Gulf. So they were golfing and they're like, well, you can go over to the other one. It has like workout classes and you can be on the beach. So I went and took a yoga class, and there was actually the lady there teaching it was retired, and she was wearing an Ohio State tank top. And so I had to talk to her afterwards. And, you know, she said, you can do yoga anywhere, any place, any language, any age. You don't need anything. And so then I came home and dove into how to get yoga certified. And I had done yoga classes, you know, here and there. And, but I really
Was it like the atmosphere that you were in, or was it her that kind of made you think like, like I could maybe do this and do it like, as she mentioned, like anywhere, like what kind of sparked that?
I think it was really that, right? Like I was kind of like, you know, and Pure Barre is still around, which is great in barre classes, you know,
right.
But it was kind of like a trend thing. And there's always those kind of trends in working out, right? You know, we know that with Step and Taibo and things like that. But where like it really stuck with me was like, yoga is not a trend. It's been around for, you know, bajillions of years.
Yeah.
And it's been, you know, in so many cultures and evolved. And like, and again, she was right. Like you can do it and you don't need a single thing except your body. And I thought that was just like really cool, that I could kind of explore that, you know. And also as I was learning more, you know, as I was going on this clean beauty and fertility journey, which kind of all like starts to intertwine, right? Of like taking care of yourself that then finally connects to like your stress and your, you know, using your breath and moving your body, and all of these things start to kind of come together and click and be like, oh, like I need to do a lot of things to make sure that I'm taking care of myself, not only to have a baby, but then to be a good mom and good wife and all of those things as well. And it just started to kind of click of like, this could be a practice that could be really impactful, not only in my life, but in my kids, in my family's life too. So,
Tell us a little more about that. Go back to your infertility, or you guys are struggling. At what point did you start connecting in that process that, you know, your vessel or the things that you're experiencing at home, your work stress, your, you know, your environment, like tell us a little more about your process, kind of how you went through that and what you discovered.
Yeah. So our first baby that we lost, she had Turner's, which is a very rare genetics disorder that just kind of like a fluke, actually, that it happens. It's not like there's carriers on the parent's right. side. They just are missing an X chromosome. So after that miscarriage, you know, it was, we had an explanation, right? And like, I wasn't starting to go down the rabbit holes yet of what else could be causing that, because I knew what happened.
Right.
But after my second miscarriage, we did not know. Like, it was very early on, or not super early, but like, there wasn't any, it just happened. And that's really when, you know, learning about what I learned with Beauty Counter, about the ingredients you're putting in and on your body, what you're eating, you know, organic food was a big thing right there. I mean, this was 10 years ago. So like, that was a right. huge thing, but the clean beauty wasn't yet, right? Like, no right. one had even heard of clean beauty and didn't understand that, you know, fragrance and phthalates and parabens and all of those things. You know, I worked for L Brands. So, I mean, I was going to those sample sales and like loading up on Bath and Body Works, and like smothering right. myself in that stuff. Which when I found out all the things I did, you know, through all that, my husband was like, you really can't even donate that. I'm like, no one can use this. So if anyone's listening from Bath and Body Works, or if you're a Bath and Body Works fan, sorry, but.
Sorry, not sorry. I'm yeah, still trying to convince my teenager, the 15-year-old in the house, she's the youngest, and she loves everything Bath and Body Works, and I can't get her. She comes down with a different fragrance. She's got every body mist known to man. And I'm like, oh, honey, that stuff is so terrible for you. Stop putting it on your body. But we're getting there. She's slowly starting to take advice, you know, baby steps. So,
yeah. Well, and if she figures it out by like 19, you know, she's yeah. ahead of a lot of the rest
yeah.
of us. So,
yeah. Yeah. But, for reals.
Tell her the person you had on today says, do not use that stuff.
Do not use it. Right.
Oh, my.
I need a validator that's outside the family. You know what I mean?
Please. I loved Beauty Counter, and there's so many even amazing brands now at Target that are yeah. so much cleaner and doing great jobs. And there's also, you know, a lot of other options out there that we didn't have. So I, you know, that's incredible. Even Ulta, Sephora has, you know, clean rose now, which is great.
Right.
But yeah, so, and then, you know, it just kind of kept going down that hole of like, what else, you know, I thought I lived a pretty healthy life, you know, I worked out, cooked dinner, like all those things. But I started learning, and also just learning about, like, I used to have a ton of sinus infections, and I would just go to the doctor. I didn't have time to be sick, so I'd get on an antibiotic. I did not understand what that was doing to my gut. So just learning about how, like, you think you're doing things that are making you healthy and they're not. And those like Band-Aid fixes, right, are what our kind of culture, you know, we're getting out of it. I feel like we're moving in the right direction.
We want a quick solution. We yeah. want a quick solution, you know?
You know, and it, unfortunately, like, there isn't that. And it took me a long time to learn it, but I had to learn it really quickly when I was going through that fertility journey, right? Because it was impacting us having a family. And I think there was multiple things. I was on Accutane as a teenager, which is, you know, now shown to be absolutely horrific, and issues with that too. And so I think there were multiple factors, but like, I needed to be able to do as much as what I could control. Because after that second miscarriage, all the blame I was putting on myself, you know, so like, it was really important for me to feel like I had control and to be doing the best things I could be doing. And I would say at that point too, I mean, I wasn't into my yoga journey quite yet. So I was doing a lot of things correct with like the skincare I was using, the food I was eating, you know, starting to realize like, I need to limit my stress, and I need to not be, you know, working 60, 70 hours a week, like those things. But you know, the whole mind body connection and using my breath and those kind of things, I hadn't really got into that realm yet. That was really post my son. So then we started working with a fertility doctor, a really good friend of mine. Her dad is an amazing fertility doctor, and I started working with an acupuncturist. And I actually started working, I forget the name of it, but she like helped me track my cycle and learn all about, you know, all the woman things, that you to help with, you know, all of that being the perfect timing. And so I was kind of putting, you know, Eastern and Western medicine together, and my fertility specialist, he was amazing in the fact of like, he's like, you know, you can, I don't know anything about all that stuff, but you can do all that. And it's, if it helps your body be in the best shape it can be for what I'm doing, like, go for it. So, and I know a lot of doctors don't feel that way. So if you can't find a doctor, that supports you wanting to try multiple different things, like find a different doctor, because I think that's the biggest thing right now is like, we're learning that we need to find the root cause, right? And we can't always find that, or it could be a really long journey. And I'm all for using modern medicine and using science, but I think it's a blend and really starting to understand your body. And again, like if going to the acupuncturist helps with my stress, that's going to then, when I'm getting a shot injected, my body's going to take that and react a lot better than if I'm at this really high stress level. So, you know, we went on quite the journey. I had lots of appointments and lots of needles and all the things, but luckily we got pregnant with Henry before we moved to the IUI stage. So right before we were moving to that stage, we got pregnant with him, but it was, you know, setting timers. And I even remember one Ohio State game, we had friends come down and the doctor was like, you know, you have to do it at this time. And I was like, okay.
Like, well, I hope it's halftime.
Well, we're going to be tailgating and then have to go to a football game. So like, we literally had to figure out that. So yeah.
Like, honey, we're going to sneak in the back seat of the car real quick and see if we can knock this out.
The police officer comes. It's like, just move on.
We have
to have a baby.
Yeah, we have doctor's orders to have sex right now. Okay. I need you to move along and take my doctor's excuse. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, that is hilarious.
Yeah. So
Columbus has an amazing yoga scene. I feel like we're in a really lucky area to have so many options of studios and instructors. So did you sign up to get certified anywhere locally? Did you do it online? Like, what was that process like when you realized you came back from Florida and you wanted to get into this?
So I actually applied. It's the Clintonville studio, but it was called something different then, but it's still there now. I think it's called Give Yoga now, but it was not Give Yoga 10 years ago. They were doing a program where you could apply to get a scholarship on want-based, not on need-based. Well, they had need-based ones too, but this is like, we're going to pick two people that really want to do this, and we're going to give you the training for free based on like your passion for wanting to do it. So I wrote this whole essay of why I wanted to do it. Got into the program, was like, okay, this is perfect. It's all falling into place. And like, you know, I wasn't working at the time except for Beauty Counter and home with my son. So I was like, you know, this will be great. My husband, I won't be like, hey, I have to pay $3,000 for training. And, you know, training at that time too, there wasn't a lot of online. I mean, there was some online options, but I didn't know a lot about that. And that's not what there is today. And at the price ranges there is today.
Right.
But then they canceled it. So I was like,
oh no,
crap. But I was already like, okay, I'm doing this. So I went to a couple other studios, and Yoga 6 actually on Lane Avenue, that's no longer there, was doing a program. And there was a lady there, her name escapes me right now. But she was one of the first women to start organized yoga classes in Columbus in like the 80s. She like wow. started it in Bexley in like ballrooms. And so she just was a wealth of information, just a very cool person. So signed up for the training, had to pay for it. And what was really interesting about the training was, so it was on Lane Avenue, close to Ohio State's campus, but it was in the summer. And the first day of training, there was like 20-ish of us. And there was only me and another lady that were over the age of 21. Everyone else was college students. And everyone else was there not to become yoga teachers. I mean, they were like, maybe I'll teach, but because they had dealt with anxiety, depression, trauma, stress. Like, and I was like, this is super cool that these kids are here using this, you know, adding this tool to their toolbox, but they're supposed to be in the best time of their life, and this is expensive. You know what I mean? Like in the theme of like taking care of yourself, it's not. But you know, for a college student, it is, and it was very eye opening. Of like, that was like the start, right, of kind of that mental health crisis timing too, and people weren't even talking about mental health at that point, and it was just like, you know, I think yoga studios and yoga trainings were safe places for that.
What year was this? What year are we in?
2018.
Okay.
Yeah. And so went through training, absolutely loved it. Almost halfway through training, I found out I was pregnant with my twins. So,
oh my God.
So we had not, the only thing we had done post Henry was they had to put me on Femara, which helps kind of get your cycle back going. And there's like a 5% chance that you can get twins, and we got them.
There they are.
So it's funny how life works itself out. And just through that, though, everyone was like, you have this very motherly, you know, vibe in your classes. You're very comforting, very healing, very calming. And I'm like, well, I have a child and I'm pregnant with two right now. So that makes sense, you know, and you're all babies,
right?
In my eyes. So they're like, you should teach kids. And I was like, okay, that's kind of cool. And so I started teaching some kids classes at some studios around town. We have an amazing adult yoga community in Columbus, but not kid and family. And I think it's hard for adult studios to integrate that. I think a lot of them want to, but they've got to focus on their core customer
demographic. And, yeah.
You know, so it kind of ended up being a lot of like babysitting, right? You know, because it was like, if mom wanted to take a yoga class, like the whole brother and sister clan are coming, and maybe sister loves yoga, but her two brothers don't, you know, or whatever it was. And then I took a long maternity leave to have the girls. So kind of got out of teaching in studios, and really wasn't sure exactly what I was going to do. But then a friend of mine opened a daycare and childcare center and was like, come check it out. And so put Henry in there one day a week, and she's like, we're going to do yoga. And I was like, how? And she's like, oh, probably YouTube. And I was like, I'll teach yoga. So started teaching the day he was there. And then it just kind of started to snowball. Balanced Family Academy was only a few schools at the time, but caught wind I was doing it. It was like, we want you to come in. So started teaching there. And just, you know, kind of word of mouth kept growing. And they were starting to have the vision to expand and starting to have some of those preliminary conversations as well. And so they were like, how are you going to expand with us? You know, and at the time I was teaching 3 days a week, and you know, there's only 3 hours in the morning and like 2 hours in the afternoon between nap and lunch and all the things that kids have to do to teach. So I started working on the business plan, and figuring out how we were going to expand the program. And that's where really like the balanced child method came in, of we weren't just going to be coming into schools and teaching kids yoga. That's super important. And that 30 minutes is amazing, but that's only 30 minutes, right? So I was like, how can we make an impact on these kids and families and these educators outside of that 30 minutes as well? So that's where the method really came into play, of we're not only going to have classes for kids, but we're going to have family yoga, workshops for parents and caregivers, workshops and classes for educators. Like, we're going to tackle this from a 360 approach with the child in the middle and the child in the center. Because if we can start to get parents and caregivers to do, you know, even just a calm down bedtime routine, like that's going to snowball again, right? Like they get their 30 minutes at school and then they're getting that every night. Like it's just going to start to compound. Those small habits really start to build up. And then they're going to say, I want to go to family yoga, and I want, you know, and then the parents are going to want to do more. So that's where the method was really born. And we were super excited. And then the pandemic hit. So,
At that time, how many like schools or programs would you say you were in before the pandemic happened?
Well, so BFA, Balanced Family Academy, I think had four schools, something like that. And then I was in like one other school. So like five total.
I just asked that because, you know, every guest that we talk to talks about how the pandemic helped them slow down and realize their passion, and people got into so many alternative, what most consider alternative, we don't, but just different health practices to make sure they were the best versions of themselves that they could be. So I was just curious if the pandemic actually maybe helped, because once you were through it, people really, I feel like in our endeavors have mm-hmm. really embraced more things like that because they had the time to slow down and to take deep breaths and maybe work on some of those things.
Yeah, I definitely think it helped. I mean, from a business perspective, so we got our LLC the day we shut down in Ohio for the pandemic. But, you know, there's some of those things as a business owner, and this is my number one advice to small business owners, is like, make sure you do your due diligence on your legal and like all of that stuff up front. It's going to save you so much in the long haul. And that's what I had time to do, right? Because I wasn't teaching. And so I had time to make sure we had contracts and we had our website and our trademark and like all of those things that, you know, LLCs and you had a tax guy and, you know, some of those things that I think I wouldn't have made the time for or had the time for if I was teaching like I was. So that was really important. And that gave me the time to do that, which was great.
The pandemic, daycares really went down to minimal staff. Not very many kids were coming. Most kids were home with their parents, right? Like, yeah. Or there weren't any. They weren't allowed in for a while. They were shut down completely. Yeah.
Correct. And we did not get back into daycares. And like, I would call every week, you know, and it was the same, like everyone was like watching Mike DeWine's update and we'd have a phone call. And we did not get back into daycares until May of 2022. So, I mean, we did a little bit in those 2 years of like outdoor yoga here and there, but it was so, you know, up and down. It was like a few months, like everyone was kind of like, oh, everything's okay. And then it was a few months of like, no, not really. And then, you know, so it was like, it was really like, I did a training that summer of 21 because I was like, oh, we'll be back in schools in fall of 22. And then we weren't. and it was just, so like we, you know, a couple of the Parks and Rec were like, you can do outdoor classes and things like that. But really we didn't. So when I say we're five, we're really like three. Like, so I'm always like, we're like that really tall 3-year-old that you're like, how old are you? you know, but as far as growth, we've had insane growth, especially in the past 2 years. And the really cool thing is like, it's not a matter of people not wanting what we're offering. Like no one says no to yoga. It's just the reasons we're not in some places is logistics and funding, and just even time and getting enough instructors, you know, all of that coming together. But
it's not a hard sell, right? It's not a hard sell to anyone. Like everybody understands, which is part of the reason why you got into yoga in the first place, is that it's universal and it's been around for so long that everybody understands that stretching, moving your body, connecting with your body, breathing is important and is good for you, right? Like it's not a hard sell for people. That's great.
And I think it's really cool that we are realizing too that like starting kids at 18 months, even like we started at 18 months, is so impactful. Those early years, I mean, we know it with studies with languages, right? Like it's a perfect time to learn a second language. It's the same kind of thing. Like they're getting all of that stuff ingrained in them and they're going to have those tools in their toolbox when they go to college and they have anxiety and they have stress and things like that. Like those things aren't going away, but we have to help kids learn how to manage it and help ourselves, right? And yoga and breathing is a huge part of that. Yes, like the other things we've talked about earlier, food and products and things like that are too, but the number one thing you can control is your body and your breath. And it's amazing how impactful and how like the coolest thing, you know, during the pandemic though, is I had parents sending me videos of their kids teaching them yoga at home. And I had kids that I didn't think were paying attention, and they were teaching a full-on class. And I have my son that's now 8 that's like, I need to go and quiet my body and take some deep breaths. And I'm like, I didn't say that at 8 years old, you know, like I didn't have that awareness at 8 years old. And so like my biggest thing to parents is like, I know sometimes, you know, we have parents that are like, I can't bring my kid because they're too loud or they have too much energy. No, bring them, because you never know what is just going to sit with them. Even if they're running around the class the whole time, they might like go home and say a mantra, or they might go home and take a breath, or they might go home and do a pose. Like, and it's just amazing. And as we, you know, are in daycares with these kids, that's what my teacher is like, once they get in a set school, they don't want to leave it because they see these kids grow up, and it's pretty cool to see their transition, and they're leaving to go to elementary schools, you know, being able to do multiple breaths, understanding mantras, understanding poses, understanding moving their body, understanding that mind-body connection. And that's why we really want to continue it in the elementary years as well, to just really help set these kids up for the time in their life that is going to probably be, at least until they're older, right, the most stressful, and the time that anxiety and all of those things start to creep in.
Well, unfortunately, I don't think it's college anymore. Like, the studies are out with social media and screen time, that really we're at an all-time, one could say, pandemic numbers of kids with anxiety at a very elementary age. You know, we're not, it's getting earlier and earlier. It was high school. Now it's, you know, and then down to middle school, and now elementary kids are really starting to feel the stress. And so I personally feel like what you're doing now is way more impactful than being an emergency room doctor for kids, as far as saving the world, right? Because you're really going to impact these kids on how to self-regulate. And yeah. I would challenge that there's a large percentage of adults out there who can't self-regulate.
Correct.
And so teaching them in this environment at such a young age, I think, is so vital what you're doing, and so beautiful it's so needed. It is so needed.
And you're changing the culture of yoga too. I think, you know, Generator, she was one of my very first yoga teachers here in Columbus, and I met her through the Beauty Boost. And I love her classes. And I think it was because I always had a very particular, impression that yoga was an aesthetic and was for a certain type of person. And I was never that type of person. And I was never going to get into yoga because that did not fit who I was. And through taking a class with someone like her, I realized, oh, wow, like, this isn't just like the beige tank top, perfect pony, cute little thing. It's like a real, real practice. And I think you teaching kids this and saying, like, it doesn't matter if they're the hyper ones or whatever, and just teaching, like, it's about every choice you make. If you decide to take a couple deep breaths instead of pop off, like, that's a win. Like, if you decide to, like, go quiet your mind for a moment before you get on a stressful call, that's a win. And all of these things are what yoga is. And you're teaching it so young that they're going to grow up and be aware of that, and then be able to feel like they're a part of this culture and this practice without feeling othered. So I think that's also equally as incredible.
And I think that is, like, so important, because that's the biggest thing. And, like, what we do is we want to make this open and accessible to everyone. Like, you do not have to ever have done a yoga pose. You don't have to, even my instructors, I'm like, you don't have to be 200 hour trained. Like, I can teach you that stuff. I can teach you the poses. And then we change up a lot of the names of our poses anyway. Like, we're not, you know, getting into the nitty gritty with that. And even with kids, like, the whole thing is just moving your body. And, like, you know, we don't have to worry about injuries yet and things like that. And their bodies are, you know, so flexible. So that's really cool, because I'm like, that's what I say to the parents. I'm like, I think so many people have a lot of that viewpoint of, like, this, you know, every yoga class is this, like, perfect Zen thing, and, you know, people can do inversion. No, we incorporate books and we incorporate music and some large movement, but it's just starting to get them to understand, you know, that breath can really control their body and help with their body. They can move their body with their breath. They can use their mind and their breath, enjoy getting to move their body, and starting to just put their mind somewhere else than maybe on, you know, those things that do start to cause stress or, you know, make them upset, and just bring them, you know, the books really do help us tell those amazing stories that bring kids to a place that brings them joy. And we tell everyone, like, that's our biggest message is, I mean, we've had kids that are on the spectrum and we have aides that are like, they're just going to sit in the back. And I'm like, no, bring them up. Like, I don't care if they're nonverbal. I don't care if you think they're not going to participate. Like, you never know what connection and what power yoga is going to bring to these kids. And I think we underestimate like how powerful it is and how impactful it is with children in even the smallest bits.
We talk about energy a lot. I feel like with our guests, we're very energetic beings, and yoga is one of those practices that when you get together with a collective group, no matter size, shape, age, right, is that there's an energy exchange there. And I love what you said about if you have a hyperactive child, bring them. They're the most dysregulated, right? Yep. That's a dysregulated child for whatever reason. And bring them because they're the ones who need it the most. And I think that's really a beautiful message, especially in this time where, you know, and I can speak to this personally. My grandson is hyperactive. And I feel like his parents are shameful of that at times. Like they're being judged by society that I'm not being a good parent because he's, you know, he's all over the place. He's got big energy or can't sit still or whatever it is. And I think that's really beautiful that you guys are inclusive of those folks and not judging. And I think that that's real prevalent in today's society of like looking like, or just, and it may not be that people are really judging them. They just feel like they are and that they're doing something wrong. And comparison culture jumps into that. And, you know, you look like you have the perfect child out in public, but, you know, at home, you're screaming at them. You know, like nobody ever really knows what's happening, right? So it's hard to not compare yourselves when you feel like, well, my kid is the disruptor and, you know, is making it not great for everybody else. And so I appreciate that you said that you're very inclusive with everyone. I think that's real important.
And I think we have to learn as a society to let go of that and let our kids lead us, right? We have tried to change so many childhood norms that aren't natural. And like, no, our kids need to play. Our kids need to be outside. Our kids need time to calm their bodies, not on a screen. Like there's a lot of things that, you know, and it's changing and shifting and the conversations are there. But I think that we have to nurture and really listen to our kids because they know their bodies and they know that self and they were, you know, created and however you believe they were created in a way that their bodies know what to do. You know, we just have to help that. And I think a lot of times we as a society don't help that and we need to listen to them. And I always say, and my teachers will reiterate this, we learn more from our kids than us teaching them. Like, yes, we're up there teaching the things, but they're showing us how to really do it. And if you watch a child take a deep breath, like they actually take a deep breath. You watch an adult take a deep breath and it's like they're looking around like, if someone hears me take a deep breath. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
A child will, you know, if you say do whatever, the child does that without those preconceived notions, without like, you know, like they really immerse themselves in it. And it's really cool to see.
Totally.
We talk a lot about women having certain desires and wants when we're younger. And then we get to a certain age where we are trying to become something for everyone else, whatever that is. And we're influenced to sort of give up self to. And it's a theme that we hear sitting in these chairs with, I would say, the majority of our guests that I wanted to do something and I ended up down a path because it was more financially feasible. It's what my family wanted. It's what I thought I should do. It's, you know, and then they depart from that at some point in their life and go back to self at some point. And I feel like the more we can teach kids how to just be self-regulating and in their own bodies and listening to their own intuition and not listening to the noise of the world, we can possibly save a next generation of kids from that plight. And I think that's beautiful.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
So in the vein of teaching and learning, we would love to know if there's two, three, how many ever you have women in your life that you feel like have really helped shape you, teach you, maybe people you know, or maybe someone you has influenced you, just some women that you feel like, wow, they really helped me on my path.
I mean, of course, my grandmother, mom, and sister, those are my three most important women in my life that have supported me no matter what. And I'm so thankful for all they taught me. My grandmother had my mom very young, so she was always like seemed just like, you know, a young grandma. And so she's been like a second mom, and I still have her today, which is amazing. And they're just so supportive. My grandfather, both my grandfathers, one was a farmer and one had his own business, so entrepreneurs. So, and you know, both of my grandmothers supported them, and like just seeing like them support that, you know, like they weren't doing their own thing at that time, but that started really, and it was interesting as I kind of got on this journey is like a lot of my family are entrepreneurs. Yeah. Farmers are entrepreneurs. Right. Sure. And so like, even though those women didn't have their own businesses, they were supporting their husbands and they were supporting the entrepreneurial spirit. So I saw that even though it looks different than it does today, right? And me owning my own business and my girls seeing that. And then, I mean, my entire staff is all women, except I do have one amazing guy. But they just inspire me every day. Like they are, it's such a mix of women. I have from college age up to retirees. I have PTs, OTs, retired teachers, retired guidance counselors, college students, like women from all over, all walks of life, all different journeys with yoga, all different journeys with children. And, you know, they just bring so much inspiration to the business and to me every day because they're doing the work. They are the ones changing, you know, they're taking my vision and bringing it to life, which is incredible. So I know that's more than three, but I have to give them all a shout out because
that's great.
Without them, we wouldn't be where we are. And I always remind them, you know, like not every day is rainbows and butterflies, even in yoga classes. But I always remind them, like they are truly making a difference in a very, very impactful way, in a bigger way than they probably even realize. In a bigger way than I think a lot of people will realize until hopefully soon.
The ripple effect of what you guys are doing is really going to be impressive. Like, really, it's really honorable what you guys are doing. I'm really excited.
And where can people find you? Like, whether they want to take their kids to a class or whether they're like, you know what? My school has nothing like this and I would love for them to have something like this. So where are all the places they can find you? How can they reach out and then follow your journey?
Yeah. So our website is thebalancedchildmethod.com. That is also our Instagram. So just make sure you put the D on it. So Balanced Child Method. And on our Instagram, we always have all of our community or local classes that are open to the public. And that also you can, you know, DM us on Instagram. I have an amazing girl, Anna, that does our social media and she'll respond very quickly. Also, you can email info@thebalancedchildmethod.com. That is my direct email. So I will see that. And we can get you the information that you can pass on to your school. Or if you just get us the name of your school, we'll do the rest. And that's what we have classes sporadically kind of around town. But if you have somewhere, like I said, we don't have a studio, but if you have somewhere you want to see us, let us know. We do some partnerships with some local businesses as well. Dublin Toy Emporium, we have some classes coming up in different places like that. So if there's something you want to see, just let us know and we'll get it on the books. But yeah, we'd love to hear from you. We'd love to be in as many schools as we can. Next year, we'll be expanding outside of Central Ohio too. So if you know people are listening to other places and are interested, we're starting to make a list. So stay tuned for that too.
Fantastic. Mm-hmm. Well, I hope, Amy, that this explodes for you. And before you know it, you're nationwide. So
yeah,
I think you're doing great work.
Totally.
Thank you so much.
We will make sure we link on your socials and where everyone can find you in our show notes today so people could easily find that information. Remember, you can stream us on Spotify, iHeart. We're on Apple Podcasts. And then lastly, this episode will be available on YouTube video and audio. And again, all those places you can find Amy Jo's information in the show notes. So thank you so much for joining us today. This was amazing.
Thanks, you guys.
Thanks, Amy. We appreciate it. If anybody thinks this is going to resonate with somebody, please share the episode. We appreciate it. Love you.